In the name of Jesus, amen. Mathematics. The mathematics of Christ is not equal to the mathematics of the world. It's actually greater than that. And for you educators, it's not Common Core. Rather, it's our uncommon Lord who gives us his numbers, his equations, that he and the rest of the Trinity alone can solve and perhaps even understand. Here's an example. You probably didn't expect to be doing math today in church. The Father is 100% God. The Son is 100% God. The Holy Spirit is 100% God. How much God, then, do you have? You have 100% God. Another example. Christ is 100% true God and 100% true man. How much Christ do you have? You have 100% Christ. You see, Christ's math is way above our heads. It doesn't make sense to us. As the ancient Greek philosophers would say, the finite cannot comprehend or contain the infinite. This is why we accept it on the basis of faith in Christ that the Holy Spirit has given us. But here's another question given directly by Jesus today from our gospel text. What is 70 times 7? Do you know? Jesus says the answer is infinity. Or for some of you younger folks, as Buzz Lightyear would say, to infinity and beyond. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. Are you saying 70 times 7 is not 490? Not here. Not today. Not a chance. And that's not what Peter wanted to hear. You see, Peter asked Jesus the wrong question in our text for today, and it was wrong for two reasons. Number one, it was not a question that the Lord had already answered. And number two, it was motivated not by the gospel, but by the law. Peter betrayed himself by the very nature of his question. He showed that he did not have the mind of Christ, but rather of his own legalism. He wanted to know what were the minimum requirements to do right by God. All of us here have been students at some point, right? And it would be like walking into the classroom, looking the teacher square in the eye, and asking them, what's the minimum amount I need to do to pass your class? And as students, we don't like the teacher's answer. And the disciples, well, they don't like the Lord's answer either, and you probably don't either. The Lord calls Peter and us to a much higher standard, if you will. He says, be holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy, imperfect. I do not say to you, forgive your brother 7 times, but 70 times 7. It's easy to count to 7, right? It's a lot harder to count to 490. And that's the point. You keep forgiving to the point where you can't keep track anymore. And then you keep on forgiving even from there. But why should you even bother? The answer from Scripture? It's what God has been doing for you, forgiving you over and over and over again because you have sinned over and over and over again and have needed to repent over and over and over again, more times than you can probably count. In the preparation for every divine service, and especially in the intro at 4 this morning, we are brought to remember the confession of the psalmist in one of the penitential psalms, Psalm 130. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, keep a record. If you, O Lord, should do the math, O Lord, who could stand? You see, if the Lord kept a record of your sins and counted them against you, you wouldn't stand a chance of being forgiven. Chance of being saved. Thus we confess our sins every divine service and even every day, as we might say the Ten Commandments to remind ourselves of the law As we might pray as well, the Apostles' Creed remind us of the precious gospel, and as we might even pray, the words our Lord himself gives us in the Lord's Prayer. And speaking of the Lord's Prayer, you probably should have had a little something running through your mind when you heard the gospel for today, primarily the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Luther teaches us in his small catechism that means this. We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. And so, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Indeed, who could stand before him? Not you, not I, no one. We owe God a huge debt for our offenses, and one we cannot begin to hope to pay for, even with our very lives, because we've not lived the holy and perfect lives God demands of us. Thus, we are the first servants in the Lord's parable for today. All we can do is get down on our knees and literally beg for God's mercy and for him to forgive our debt to him. There's no way out. And then he forgives. And what do we do with that forgiveness? Forgive those who trespass against us? I mean, after all, if God is willing to forgive us 70 times 70, times 7 to infinity and beyond, why are we at times so unwilling to forgive someone who has offended us, much less than we ourselves have offended God? We've not loved God with our whole heart. We've not loved our neighbors as ourselves. If we did, we wouldn't withhold forgiveness from those who have actually sinned against us, or even those who have simply offended us, or even merely inconvenienced us. Somebody says something that makes us uncomfortable. Someone cuts us off in traffic or on the highway, and we get mad. We don't want to hear an apology. We want God to send that person straight to H-E double hockey sticks, right? Right there and then. And then there's the actual sins, those that break the Ten Commandments that have us reeling, seething, frothing at the mouth, and unwilling or unable for a time to forgive. Children disobeying their parents, aborting a baby, denying life support to those who need it, neglecting our parents after we've put them in a nursing home, one spouse cheating on the other, taking something that doesn't belong to you just because you want it and don't think the other person should have it, spreading rumors and telling lies about someone. God says we should forgive others when they sin against us, not when they get their stuff together and get it all figured out. But the devil has us digging in our heels, not willing to forgive and not wanting, certainly, to forget. Contrary to what God demands and Luther teaches, we don't want to sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. We want heads to roll. We want vengeance. We want blood. And God sees our pathetic state as sinners and says, okay, you want blood to be shed? You got it. Thus we have the whole sacrificial system. Over and over again, daily, sacrifices of animal after animal were offered, first in the tabernacle and in its courts, and then in the three temples. Matter of fact, in the temples themselves, there was a viaduct, a special drainage system just for all the blood that it would carry it there outside the temple over there to the brook Kidron. Blood after blood after blood, tons of it. Am I making you queasy? You can imagine how many sins they had. You and me, probably more. But then Jesus comes, and he crosses over that little drainage system called the Kidron Brook, the valley. He crosses over that blood, and John the Baptist, with his bony finger, points out, there, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, there can be no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood, as we learn from the author of Hebrews. God provides the blood of His one and only Son, Jesus, bloodied and dead there on the cross to take away the sins of the world, including yours and mine. You want to know where the debt gets paid for? Well, first of all, the what? It's not gold or silver, as we learn as well from the Catechism, but it's holy, precious blood, His innocent suffering and death, to redeem you, to buy you back, to get you out of hock. Jesus there was crucified and killed to make full payment for us and for all people. A gift cherished and craved by those who believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord, a gift for you. What was the first thing Jesus said as He was being crucified? You remember? He might have simply said, "Ouch." But the Bible says the first thing He did was to pray, "Father, forgive them." He asks His Father in heaven to forgive those who have now condemned Him to death, those who have nailed Him to the cross, those who sins now have been put on Him. Jesus prays for you and for me. Jesus prays for the life of the world. And Jesus now makes us holy by being the wicked servant in our place. For Jesus here is the servant, is the one who is delivered to the jailers who arrested Him, the soldiers who crucified Him. And to paraphrase the words of the prophet Micah in today's Old Testament reading, God has given His firstborn for our transgression, and Christ now has given His body and blood for the sin of your soul. Christ died for you, paying your entire debt to God completely, and your slate is wiped clean. You are forgiven. That's why we prayed in the intro it as well from Psalm 130, "With you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared." It's why we still maintain, at least here at this church and in a few others, thanks be to God, some reverence in the divine service, a sense of holiness, a sense of that which is sacred, that when we come into God's presence, it looks and sounds completely different from the world and concerts and radio. Presence of God, you should have a little fear for your sins, but you also should stand there in faith, begging and pleading and receiving the forgiveness that you don't deserve. In your very mouth, and the bread and wine, His body and blood, that you may taste and see that the Lord is good, because God has declared you forgiven. You hear it in the absolution. You wear it in your baptism, that though your robes are stained, as we talked last week, with your own sins, and they're scarlet, they're red, He covers you with Christ, with His blood, and washes you, makes you white. Jeremiah says, "I will forgive their iniquity." God says, "I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." See, with God, you get forgiveness and you also get forgetfulness. Isn't that awesome? Something we so often fail with. You see, the devil may want you to remember your sins as well as those committed against you. Some of us maybe have a little black book that we keep track of. Do you not remember? The devil's been defeated. His accusations and his lies have been exposed, because the same Jesus who said from the cross, "Father, forgive them," is also the same Jesus, the 100% Christ, who said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." You see, Satan has lost the war. Don't let him think he's winning. We oftentimes want to give up. We talk about how bad things have gotten, and we see and hear all these things on the news, and shootings and earthquakes and fires and you name it. And you got your own stuff going on in your life. And it's so easy to think the devil's winning. But folks, he's not. He is defeated. Do you remember what we sang here just 2 weeks ago? Luther's great hymn. The fortress, we tremble not, we fear no ill, he shall not overpower us, he can harm us none, he's judged, the deed is done. You see, thanks be to God who's given us the victory in Jesus Christ, who's risen from the dead and comes to us in his body and blood, not the blood of our enemies, not the blood of goats, not the blood of all those animals, but rather the blood of the Lamb of God, given and shed for you for forgiveness of sins, that now moved by the Holy Spirit, you as God's forgiven children would also be forgiving. That you would share God's love for you in Christ, and that you in turn would forgive those who sin against you. That you would do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. And he promises that he who began this good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ, because he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So buck up. Believe, receive. Mercy, forgiveness, the math of our sins doesn't add up. Except in Jesus, it all comes down to one. And he's 100% for you. May God grant us to do justice, to love kindness, and forgive our brother from our heart as he has done. In the name of Jesus, amen.